A radio station with the best of the 80s, 90s, and more. 105.7 CFW.
Step inside. Walk this way. You and me, babe. Hey, hey.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Who looks out for the interests of abused or neglected children? The answer is court-appointed, trained volunteers.
Last year, we had 77,000 volunteers speaking on behalf of just over a quarter of a million abused and neglected children. But there's another 400,000 children who could use our help.
Then, How can you and your family stay safe in a disaster or a terrorist situation? A former Navy SEAL shares some life-saving advice.
Being prepared, not being buried in technology and allowing that to consume you. You kind of need to know some things in order to survive, and that's what being crisis-proof really is.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this week's show. Don't go away. InfoTrack comes your way right after this.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy you happiness, but money did help you buy an RV. Which means an excuse from working Saturday with your insufferable coworker, Dave. So money is helping you listen to birds chirp instead of Dave chirping about how his toddler is fluent in three languages. And it's also why you'll be smelling pine trees in the air, not Dave's tuna melt reheating in a microwave. So save money by bundling your RV or boat insurance with home or auto from Progressive and buy more happiness or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move on to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Lowe's knows every project starts with the right tools and equipment. And during Craftsman Days, you can save big on what you need from a brand you trust. Get a free Select V20 tool when you buy a Select Battery 2-Pack. Plus, save $50 on a V20 String Trimmer and Leaf Blower Combo Kit. Now only $99. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 5/29 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
When it comes to our nation's abused and neglected kids, who looks out for these most vulnerable victims? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey talks to an expert to get the answers. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Sally Ernie from the National Court-Appointed Special Advocate Association. So let's start with the basics. Just what is a court-appointed special advocate?
Well, a court-appointed special advocate is a carefully screened, highly trained volunteer who is appointed by a juvenile or family court judge to speak up for the best interests of an abused or neglected child who's in court. So that involves gathering information for the court and sharing that information back to the court, helping facilitate services and a positive outcome for the child, monitoring what's happening in the child's life, with the court, with social services, and then ultimately advocating for that child's best interest so they can be in a safe permanent home and have the opportunity to thrive in life.
How does the role of a CASA differ from an attorney, and why is that so important for a child in the foster system to have an advocate like this?
Well, the CASA volunteer is different than an attorney in a few ways. First off, I should say that the attorney represents the child's legal interests, which is, of course, extremely important. The CASA is looking out for the child's best interests from a lay advocacy perspective. And part of being a lay advocate is that the CASA volunteer is generally appointed to one child. That could be a child or a group of siblings, so it's one case. And, of course, the other players in the system, attorneys, social workers, mental health providers, are appointed to numerous dozens, sometimes hundreds, in extreme cases, of children and their families. So the CASA really has that one-on-one relationship. The CASA volunteer also stays involved from when they're appointed by the court until the child achieves permanency, which could mean that the child would be out of the court system, go through an adoption process, and to assure that the child gets in a safe permanent home. So attorneys serve an extremely important role. CASA serve a very important and different role.
Are there CASA programs or offices in every state in the nation?
Every state in the nation, with the exception of North Dakota, where they use a different model, which is a paid lay guardian ad litem model. And then we're also in the District of Columbia. So we're in 49 states plus the District of Columbia. In some jurisdictions, CASA volunteers actually go by the term guardian ad litem. And so you might hear of a CASA program or a GAL program, and those are the same. So CASAs and guardian ad litem volunteers perform the same functions throughout the country.
So essentially anyone can volunteer for this. What sort of candidates are good fits to become a CASA?
Well, gosh, the most important thing is a person that has the commitment and really wants to make a difference in a child's life. And I will say, not only do the advocates really make a difference in a child's life, but I've had so many volunteers tell me over the years that they really got back more than they gave. So it's a person who has the time to make the commitment. Obviously, the numbers vary, but, you know, an average of about 10 hours a month working with the child, going to court, which generally isn't every month. The applicant has to go through a very careful screening process to make sure that they're well suited for the position. And then the training is very important. There's a national standardized training curriculum of 30 hours that every advocate must complete before they can be assigned to a case. And then there's continuing education throughout the course of the year. So I would say a commitment to improve the lives of children. I would say a real willingness to want to be involved in making your community a better place, to supporting your courts through better informing them so they can make the best decisions on behalf of children and their families, and then the time to give. And it's not an inordinate amount of time. Most of the advocates actually work full-time, and so it's something that they can do with some flexibility with their positions. And again, it's extremely rewarding work for the advocates, and it really makes a difference in the lives of the children and their families.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Sally Ernie from the National Court-Appointed Special Advocate Association, and we're learning about this program of volunteers across the nation who represent the best interests of an abused or neglected child in court. Sally, talk for a moment about the need for CASAs and how many foster kids never get an advocate like this.
Last year, we had 77,000 volunteers speaking on behalf of just over 250,000 children. So we're a big movement, and we're very proud of our work. But to speak to the need, last year there were also about 700,000 abused and neglected children who were either in foster care or before the court and living with a family member. So there's another 400,000 children who could use our help. And so there's a great need out there, and we're always looking for people throughout our state organizations and local programs who can go through the training and speak up and be this child's voice. That the advocate really helps get the child from where they are, which is in a real crisis situation, to where they need to be in the safety and stability. And we hope that safety and stability is back at home with their own parents. We start in every case hoping that children get back with their families of origin. When that can't happen, of course, we work for adoption for children, because children have a right to be in a safe permanent home so they can be happy and productive and grow up and thrive.
I think many people hearing this may say, you know, this sounds like something wonderful to do to help abused and neglected children, but it also sounds like a very big commitment. You mentioned it's about 10 hours a month, but longer term, how many months, years, whatever, would a CASA stay in the program or with the child?
Generally, programs ask for the volunteer to make a commitment throughout the life of the case, or about 18 months. So it is a commitment. It's not going out and doing the great work of, you know, painting a building for a nonprofit for the day. It's a long-term commitment. We find that advocates stay longer than that. They generally stay about 3 years. So that's really good staying power for a volunteer experience that is both challenging and rewarding. So yes, it's a big commitment. It's very different than a kind of give-a-day commitment, but our volunteers become more committed as they see what a difference they can make for children. And really what we need to do is our national organization and our state and local programs is get more volunteers speaking on behalf of children, because we see what a difference it makes. And generally when volunteers see what a difference they've made, that really helps give them resilience to keep on the case and or take other cases.
I would think that volunteers would need to have some flexibility in their jobs, because this volunteer work does require some court appearances and so forth during work hours.
It does. as I mentioned, most volunteers work full-time, and the court appearances are generally not monthly. They might be three or four times a year. The visiting of the child, of course, can happen on the evenings and on the weekends, and so there's more flexibility in that. But yes, some level of flexibility with the position is definitely helpful, but I don't want to give the impression that this is work that's all done Monday through Friday during the business hours, because it's not. Most of this work is done or can be done on the evenings and weekends if a volunteer chooses to do so.
Sally, if someone is interested in helping a foster child by becoming a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate, what should they do?
They can go to our website, casaforchildren.org, CASA and then the word for, F-O-R, children.org, or they can call us toll-free at 855-691-6317, and we'll be able to put them in touch with the local program nearest them.
Sally Ernie from the National Court-Appointed Special Advocate Association, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed the opportunity and encourage folks listening to get involved.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, how to survive an active shooter or terrorist situation. That story, coming up.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
It's time to get ready for summer at Macy's Memorial Day Sale. Save on great specials for more time in the sun, like 40% off women's swim and cover-ups, and 30 to 40% off sandals, handbags, and more. Level up your cookout game with 50 to 60% off cookware and grilling accessories. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days. See Macy's.com/Star Rewards today at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with three teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top, or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around, never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Back to InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
In today's world, there are many potential threats to our safety. How can you and your family avoid becoming victims? Our next guest is a retired Navy SEAL and author of 100 Deadly Skills, Survival Edition. Clint Emerson, welcome to InfoTrack.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, the odds are low that any one of us are going to end up in a life or death situation, but let's talk about some skills that will keep us safe. And number one on your list is something you call become crisis proof. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so being crisis proof really consists of more physical human performance and being in good shape so that you can not only help yourself, but you can help others. It's also about being prepared, having things on you that will help you get out of trouble, whether that trouble is a bad guy or, you know, a natural disaster. And then the biggest aspect is the mental component, really paying attention to what's going on and not being buried in technology and allowing that to consume you. Because the reality is, you know, our natural born instincts have kind of gone away and been replaced by technology. But when the technology goes away, you kind of need to know some things in order to survive, and that's what being crisis-proof really is.
One of the skills you mentioned is fortify your home security. Is that something you should turn over to a professional, or is this do-it-yourself stuff?
It's do-it-yourself stuff. No one is going to really look after your home more or better than you. A lot of technology that you can get installed, the reality is they are installers. They're not security guys. So even camera placement sometimes is completely wrong. It might be covering an area, but it's not getting ID quality coverage, meaning from the waist up and actually be able to identify the person coming to your door. So it's better that you do it. Everything from your doorways, reinforcing with 2.5 to 3 inch wood screws so that it takes 5 donkey kicks instead of 1 in order to break down your door. Making your home look like it's alive all the time, even when you're not there. Light timers, these timers are great, but these days they're digital. And so you can program each timer with up to 10 or more time slots, meaning you can now make your lighting in your home come on and off to emulate the exact same pattern of life as when you're there. And that's what you want. You want your lights to tell a story, not just all of them come on at 8 p.m. and then shut off at, you know, 10:30 at night or whatever. You want them to tell a story. You want to actually have a hallway light go on and then go off, and then a bedroom light go on and then go off, so that it looks like somebody's really walking through the house. But fortifying your home, I mean, it's endless. There's a lot of things you can do. But the biggest tip I put out for, like, all the single women listening is, you know, a pair of size 12 cowboy boots outside your front door will keep a lot of sexual predators away.
Huh, that's a good one. We're talking on InfoTrack with Clint Emerson, who is a retired Navy SEAL, and his book is 100 Deadly Skills Survival Edition. Clint, we all deal with going to movies or concerts or whatever, and one of your tips is to survive a human stampede. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, the human stampede sounds probably odd, but with all the social unrest that's been going on, it's all about staying upright. When you got a large group of people that are emotionally charged, it tends to turn into a mess. The biggest killer in these situations is suffocation. And so the idea is you want to stay on your feet, you want to get a good fighting stance, you want to get your arms up to protect your thoracic. Your arms aren't up because you're going to get in a fight. They're up to give you space so that your chest cavity doesn't get crushed. And the same thing applies if you get knocked down onto the ground. You want to roll up into a ball. You're rolling up into a ball, one, you'd rather have people trip over you than step on you, but bigger one is you don't want your chest against the ground. So if you're in a ball, your knees to your chest, it's protecting your airway, and you don't want to suffocate in something that really is going to last for minutes. You have to get to the outskirts of these crowds, find gaps, and make your way to the edge so that you can escape the crowd altogether. And you definitely want to stay away from barricades and other even walls or whatever that you could get smashed up against. And if it's a riot situation where there's law enforcement involved, your natural tendency might be, if you're an innocent person wrapped up in this, you might run to the law enforcement. This is the one time you do not want to run towards law enforcement, because you might be considered a protester and get hit over the head.
One of your other tips, survival skills, is to use a flashlight as a tactical tool.
You know, there's people that either support weapons or guns or not, but the reality is you need something. So a large flashlight, one that's for your home or for the vehicle, preferably one that's made out of aluminum or steel. One, you can use it to search your home. Use the light as something to blind an adversary. You can use it also to, you know, hit them over the head. A lot of your newer flashlights these days, especially tactical ones, have a serrated lens. You know, it's meant to basically hit somebody in the face with and cut them. So it's either to blind them, you can hit them, you can use it to search what's going on inside your home, because I'm a big proponent, if someone's inside your home, do not turn on your lights. Leave it completely blacked out, because you know your blueprint, and you don't want to give that advantage to the bad guys, give them the ability to see you or see their environment. And now with the flashlight, you're basically taking any advantage away from them, because if you turn it on, turn it off quickly and blind them and take their night vision away from them, then it's giving you the advantage.
Of all of the 100 skills in your book, which one do you think is maybe the most unusual but the most useful?
Probably it's unusual, unfortunately, is all the active shooting situations. So I would probably lean towards that, the run, hide, fight. It's a mantra that you should have ingrained in your head. Obviously, all these skills, I hope no one ever has to use, but it's better to know them than not. And run, hide, fight is probably the most applicable to that. When we talk about that, you hear shots fired, your first goal should be to increase distance from the shooter, which is run. If you cannot run, you know, and you're in a confined space or something, then you want to try and hide, either concealment or cover. Cover stops bullets. Concealment just hides you, doesn't stop anything. It's like hiding behind a curtain. Cover is like hiding behind a cinder block wall, a big planter at the mall, a big structural pillar. These are things that stop bullets. So the idea is if you run, run to cover, and then identify cover, then run to that cover, making your way progressively away from the shooter. And never lose sight of the shooter. Always keep your eye on the shooter. And then if those two don't work or just not viable options, then fighting. And if you're going to fight, team up with other people, grab improvised weapons, and when it's time to fight, you know, you fight like your life depends on it and take the advantage away from the bad guy. What most people don't think about from the predator's point of view is most of these guys are not trained marksmen. They are not trained really in anything. They are usually mentally unhinged or emotionally unstable, and they're coming in for the first time in their life and they're going to start shooting, which means they have a lot of tunnel vision, their adrenaline's flowing, and they really aren't paying attention to anything else other than shooting, which leaves them open to a lot of vulnerabilities. They're never up against a wall the whole time, meaning you can actually tackle these guys from their flanks or from behind. And I think it's just important for people to realize that these guys just, they have more disadvantages than you know, and you have more advantages than you think, even though they have a gun and you don't. It's just a matter of, if you're within 30 feet, then you probably should try and take the dude out than to try and outrun bullets.
A book that could be life-saving, it's 100 Deadly Skills Survival Edition, and the author is retired Navy SEAL Clint Emerson. And you can learn more at his website, which is 100deadlyskills.com. Clint, we want to thank you for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
You're listening to InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know.
It's time to get ready for summer at Macy's Memorial Day Sale. Save on great specials for more time in the sun, like 40% off women's swim and cover-ups, and 30 to 40% off sandals, handbags, and more. Level up your cookout game with 50 to 60% off cookware and grilling accessories. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days. See Macy's.com/Star Rewards today at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Lowe's knows every project starts with the right tools and equipment. And during Craftsman Days, you can save big on what you need from a brand you trust. Get a free Select V20 tool when you buy a Select battery 2-pack. Plus, save $50 on a V20 string trimmer and leaf blower combo kit. Now only $99. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 5/29 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
On the average day, over a dozen kids nationwide get emergency treatment for a lawnmower-related injury. How can parents keep their kids safe? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back with the story. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. Our guest is Tracy Meehan, the Manager of Translational Research for the Center for Injury Research and Policy at the Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, which recently completed a study of just how dangerous lawnmowers are to kids. So how many kids are injured by lawnmowers each day?
Our study found about 13 children a day were injured seriously enough to be treated in a hospital emergency department for lawnmower-related injuries.
And are most of those injuries minor, meaning they are sent home?
Most of them, fortunately, get to be sent home. For the younger kids in the 1 to 4 year age range, about 1 in 10 were admitted, though, so these can be serious.
Okay, you just mentioned the younger kids. What age ranges are we talking about for these injuries in general?
Our study looked at kids up until they reach 18 years, and we really found kind of two distinct peaks. So there's the 1 to 4 year olds and the 13 to 17 year olds, and they have different injuries. the younger kids tended to be injured more frequently when they were either a passenger on a riding lawnmower or they were a bystander while someone else was mowing, whereas the older kids tend to be injured more when they're actually an operator or using the mower themselves.
Would the more serious injuries be for those who are actually using the mower as opposed to people who are just bystanders hit by debris?
Actually, it depends on the injury. People who were bystanders or passengers were actually four times more likely than the operators to have injuries serious enough to require hospitalization. For the younger kids, lawnmowers are not intended to have passengers. And so what can happen is it seems like a fun activity, but then either you take a sharp turn or you hit a bump and the child falls, and they can fall right under where those blades are. Another time that it happens is when, you know, maybe they've been riding as a passenger in the past and they see their parent or somebody on the lawnmower and they run up because they want to get on, not realizing that the person operating the lawnmower can't hear them, and they accidentally get backed over. And those can be very serious amputations, unfortunately, things like that. Another big area for the younger children is burns, and it happens when they see the lawnmower and they want to go touch it, and a hot lawnmower looks just the same as a cold lawnmower, so they don't realize how hot they can get. And right after you turn them off, or if they're still going, it's so hot it can cause pretty serious burns to young children because their skin is thinner than ours. So making sure they don't think they're toys or they know not to touch them ever is important.
And as far as the injuries to older kids who are actually operating mowers, what kinds of things are typical there?
For those kids, there are a lot of hand and finger injuries as well as leg and foot and toe. So it'll be when maybe they reach down because something's gotten stuck and they don't turn the lawnmower off before they stick their hand in to try and pull something out, or when they run over part of their leg or foot or toe or something shoots out, like a rock or a twig or something like that shoots out. For the older kids, when something shoots out like that, it hits them more in the upper leg area. For the younger kids, when something shoots out, that's actually hitting them right around head level a lot of times. So that's why it's very serious for those kids when those types of injuries happen.
So what kind of advice do you have on ways to prevent injuries from mowers?
For the younger kids, we recommend having a kid-free zone when you're mowing the lawn. So if you have children under 6 years of age, keep them inside whenever you're mowing. You just don't know what's going to be out there, right? Or you don't want them running and not seeing you. For the older kids, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that you wait until kids are at least 12 years of age before they use a push mower and 16 years of age before they use a riding lawnmower. You also want to make sure that you're teaching them the things they can do to keep themselves safe if they're mowing. So making sure that before they mow, they go around and pick up any stones or twigs or any other objects in the grass so nothing gets thrown out, that they wear protective eyewear and sturdy shoes when they mow. While they're mowing, making sure that you're mowing always going forward. And if you have to mow in reverse, you want to make sure you turn around and look behind you before you start backing up.
Good advice from Tracy Meehan from the Center for Injury Research and Policy at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Tracy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That'll do it for this edition of InfoTrack. To learn more about this or previous InfoTrack shows and guests, visit us online at TalkZone.com. InfoTrack is produced by Syndication Networks Corporation. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of InfoTrack.
Mike McKay is back. Wake up with Mike McKay in the morning, every weekday morning from 6 till 10 on CFW. Mike has your news and weather every hour and everything you need to know about the fun things happening throughout Eau Claire and the entire Chippewa Valley. Plus, Mike announces your birthday and anniversary shout-outs every morning at 8:15. Send them in through our Facebook or text us. It's easy to do with our free Civic Media app.
Listen in the morning and it'll keep you smiling all day.
Mike McKay in the morning on 105.7 CFW. Chippewa Valley weekends never sounded so good. 80s, 90s, and more all weekend long. 105.7 CFW.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size two. But I can shake it, like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom, boom that all the boys chase. And all the right junk in all the right places. I see the magazines working out Photoshop. We know that shit ain't real, come on now make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. Cause every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me. No trouble, I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, hey. I'm bringing booty back, go ahead and tell them skinny bitches that. No, I'm just playing, I know y'all think you're fat. But I'm here to tell you, every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me.
cause you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, because you know I'm all about that.
CFW. keeping you informed and entertained throughout Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley. On air and on the Civic Media app, 105.7 CFW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a couple quick tips about how to save on gas. Now, our warm-up tip is that modern cars don't actually need to warm up. Now, I remember feeling pretty smart when I let my 73 Buick Regal run for about 10 minutes before I would head out in the morning. Truth is, if your car was built in the last 30 years, the engine does not need more than 30 seconds to fully warm up. The rest of that time is just you burning money. My main tip today, though, is this. Don't spring for the premium gas. Unless your car specifically calls for high-octane gas, and there will be a note by the gas tank if it does, it's probably just a waste of your money. Now, you might need the 90 to go from Janesville to Madison, but you don't need it in your tank. Putting anything higher than 87 octane in your car is just pouring money down the drain. Get the cheaper stuff. You can feel good about your wallet and your engine. This has been your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips on how to save. Take good care.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little bit of calm along with some gentle stretches and goats. It's relaxing all levels yoga, including playful goats, and happening Fridays through Sundays until November at Hidden Timber Soul Sanctuary on County Road N in Fall Creek. Find more at HiddenTimberSoulSanctuary.com. Or why not spend the night finding your artsy side at the Simply Creative Studio and boutique. This one, all about painting and around a ballpark theme. Classes include everything you need, and it's happening Friday night, May 24th at Dixon's Autumn Harvest Winery. It's on County Highway J in Chippewa Falls. And the Chippewa River Trolley is back for the season. Hop on board for family fun on Saturdays, winery tours Sundays through September, leaving from the local store in Eau Claire, and you can find more at ChippewaRiverTrolley.org. Enjoy, and until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some shower chances for today. There could be some heavy rainfall at spots. Otherwise, we'll see highs in the lower 60s. Southeast winds will turn to the northeast. Tonight, skies will turn mostly clear. Lows dropping to the upper 40s. Right now, it's 55.
CFW. It's a feeling, burning like a lump on fire.
more 105.7 CFW.